It's Weekends on All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. For many people, for many years, this woman was the face and the voice of the survivors of September 11th.
I was on the South Tower, and I lost my fiancé that day.
Tanya Head's inspiring story of courage in the face of impossible devastation captivated millions of people, and not a word of it was true. Tanya Head wasn't in the United States on September 11th, 2001. Her name wasn't even Tanya. Our book today is The Woman Who Wasn't There, The True Story of an Incredible Deception. Authors Robin Gabby Fisher and Angela Guglielmo join me now from our New York bureau. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you so much, Guy.
Angela, let me start with you, because you were actually friends with this woman who called herself Tanya Head. Who was she? How did you meet her?
Tanya and I met each other while we were volunteering at Ground Zero to give tours of the Tribute Center. We became friendly right away. You know, she came up to me in our training session and told me her story right there. And I immediately burst into tears.
What did she tell you?
Well, she told me that she was on the 78th floor when the plane actually came towards the towers. She said she could see it so close that she could feel the air being sucked out of her lungs. She had gotten thrown across the room. She had passed out. She had seen incredible carnage surrounding her. Her arm got severed, and she miraculously made it to the doorway. And she was saved by Wells Remy Crowther. He was the man with the red bandana that was responsible for many people getting out of the towers alive. And he had died helping people escape. She got down to the sky lobby before the towers collapsed around her. She was thrown under a rig and woke up 6 days later as a John Doe in the hospital. So when you heard her story, I mean, you could just feel your heartache.
She said her fiancé was in the other tower and he was killed.
Yes. She actually, the first thing she thought about, she told me, was her husband Dave, who was in the neighboring tower. And she actually counted floors from the top of the tower out the sky lobby window to see that he was the floor that had gotten hit.
You decided shortly after you met her that you wanted to make a film?
Yes, well, I had made a 9/11 documentary about my volunteer experience at Ground Zero, and I wasn't really ready to make another movie again about that subject. I felt like I had said everything I had wanted to. Tanya wanted me to make a film not only about her, but about her work with the Survivors Network, and there was a lot of back and forth. I didn't want to film.
This is, an organization that she joined and became very prominent, a prominent part of.
Oh, yeah. The World Trade Center Survivors Network had just gotten started at that point, and Tanya had been instrumental in moving it forward and getting it noticed by basically everyone in the 9/11 community.
Angela, let me bring in your co-author, Robin Gabby Fisher, into the conversation, because, Robin, what struck me in the book was this idea that before it all unraveled, before we discovered this is a massive hoax, a lot of people said had said she helped them. She was really helping them, a lot of survivors and people who were traumatized by 9/11.
Survivors continue to say that a great deal of their healing came from Tanya helping them and from Tanya helping get them recognized. They needed that validation, and no one was able to get that for them except for Tanya.
She said that she was working for Merrill Lynch, and that's why she was at the World Trade Center. She also described to people, and presumably to you, Angelo, as well, about how she encountered a dying man who asked her to give his ring.
Oh, sure. She had said while she was crawling to the exit on the 78th floor, and crawling over bodies, people who were burned from head to toe and people who were cut up, she came across a man who put into the palm of her hand his wedding ring and his business card and said, "Please get this to my wife." And it was the last moments of his life at that point, she said.
And many people heard that story and were so taken with it, but nobody ever asked, what was the name of that person?
As everyone says, now looking back, there were so many questions they could have asked. But because of her story, even when they did have maybe little doubts, hints, they would immediately stop thinking about those things because how dare they question this woman who had been through so much? And after all, who would ever make up such a story.
She carried out this hoax for almost 6 years. How did the story begin to unravel?
The story began to unravel because the New York Times was looking for someone to profile for the 6th anniversary. And several people had told them that they should speak to Tanya because they never had. And so they began by trying to interview her, and she agreed. And then she canceled the interviews, and they went ahead and did their normal background checking. And as they did their background checking, just things started not to check out. And then when they called Merrill Lynch, and Merrill Lynch said they had no employees by that name, the whole focus of their story obviously changed.
What did they find out?
Well, what they did find out was that her real name wasn't Tanya Head at all, that she was actually not even in the United States on September 11th, 2001, and that the likelihood of her ever meeting her husband, who was a real person that had died in the towers, was a complete impossibility.
She was actually living in Spain at the time, right?
That's correct. She was in Barcelona, Spain, in graduate school, and told no one of having been in the towers or having suffered any injuries.
Angelo, when you saw this article in the New York Times, were you shocked, or by that point did you already have your own suspicions?
Well, we had known before the Times article came out because what was going on behind the scenes was significant for all of us and eye-opening. You know, it went from, why is the Times harassing her? Why is this reporter repeatedly asking her questions around the anniversary when she doesn't want to talk to him? To, why isn't she answering these questions? It's not like he's asking her questions that haven't been asked of her before. To, oh, you know, and then all of a sudden the truth just emerged.
And her real, remind us what her real name was?
It is Alicia Esteve Head.
What happens at that point? Did she just disappear?
I went up to her apartment the day that the Times article came out. I wanted to give her another chance to tell her side of the story. I felt like it was important for her. She obviously told me she would tell me her story one day, but not that day, and she never did. And you have to understand, it wasn't easy for us to shift focus. Even though we knew that she wasn't the person that she said she was, that didn't change our attachment to her. I felt bad for her. I felt we were always trying to protect her. And here, the house of cards had already fallen, and we were still, some of us still tried to protect her.
How do either of you explain it? Why did she do it?
As soon as I started talking to Angelo about this story, I thought one of the most amazing and interesting things about the story was that she never took any money. And in fact, she gave money to the Survivors Network. And it was clear to me right away that she did it for the attention, for some crazy need to be a star. And that's what she wanted to be. And she became that.
That's Rob and Gabby Fisher, together with Angelo Guglielmo. They wrote the new book called The Woman Who Wasn't There. It's about one of the most famous cases of identity fraud to have come out of September 11th. Angelo, Robin, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure, Guy. Thank you.
Absolutely.